everyone. It's Frank McGuire.
And Jeff Mack.
And Brad B.
And this is another episode of Meanwhile, back on the podcast. On this episode of Meanwhile, Brad, Jeff, and I are in the pod to discuss the newly announced Guardians of the Galaxy game from Square Enix and Eidos Montreal. We give our wish list for what we want and discuss what would make for some fun side missions. From there, we enter Malar World to discuss Netflix canceling Jupiter's Legacy to replace it with a show that will focus on the rogues gallery of the Union of Justice. Is this the year of the villain? What is Hollywood's obsession with comic book baddies as of late? We're going to break it down for you. And to cap off the show, we cross over into the Snyderverse as we speculate on its future in the wake of the new merger between Warner Brothers and Discovery. Will the newly formed WB Discovery breathe new life back into Snyder's version of the DCEU? All this and so much more on this episode of Meanwhile, back on the podcast. So stay with us.
Meanwhile, back on the podcast, four colossal nerds named Subba, Chris, Christina, and Frank have set out to take on a great darkness that has enveloped the world of fandom with their powers of common sense and the strength to take on even the most butthurt Twitter mobs and insufferable comment section trolls. They fight for truth, objectivity, and nuance in the conversation and debate over fictional made-up shit.
So like we said at the top of the show, we have an action-packed show for you guys today. We're sitting down to talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy video game that was confirmed this past week. That's coming out of Eidos Montreal and Square Enix. And apparently there might be a trailer drop in on E3 this weekend. So let's look forward to that. But we want to talk about the game. We want to talk about what we would want out of a Guardians game, because I specifically know a lot of the things I would want out of a Guardians game, just to make it like a more realistic kind of thing. We're also going to be talking about the Snyderverse. And what's going to happen with it now that WB and Discovery have had this new merger? And we're going to be talking about the Snyderverse with this new merger between WB and Discovery. There's quite a lot to talk about there. And we're also talking about the cancellation of Jupiter's Legacy and what that could potentially mean for the superhero genre. There's some rumors that there's actually going to be another series replacing Jupiter's Legacy. And what does it mean for Netflix? We want to talk about that as well. So we hope you'll stay with us. We're going to jump right into that right now. All right, gents, so let's talk about this Guardians of the Galaxy video game. Let's talk about this new video game that's coming out that's going to be based on the franchise of Guardians of the Galaxy. I, for one, I'm pretty excited by this. I think the Guardians make a perfect franchise for a video game where you can actually play the players. I know that there's a Telltale-style Guardians of the Galaxy video game. I never really got into the Telltale series at all. It's not really anything that interests me, so I've never really played that game. But I'm glad that we've got something that's an actual, you know, like playing, like you can actually play the game. And Jeff, how would you classify the Guardians of the Galaxy game that's coming out? And how would you classify the Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale game?
Well, the Telltale is more of like a story-driven one, like a pick and choose your story. So right. There's not much action. It's very story-oriented. So you kind of choose how it unfolds and everything like that. Whereas the actual Guardians game coming out by Eidos is probably going to be more like the more recent Marvel one that came out on like PS4.
The Avengers one.
The Avengers Marvel game, where more like action-packed, kind of like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, those type of style games.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be closer to that.
But Ultimate Alliance, I'd say, was more of a button masher, and I'd say that Avengers is more kind of in lines with the Spider-Man PS4 games or the Batman PS4 games, the Dark Knight, or not the Arkham trilogy, or... Yeah.
So hopefully we get like a lot more action packed and a decent story, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I hope there's a good story. I hope James Gunn's going to be the guy writing it, but that's probably unlikely. I just think that he's the best guy to potentially do this. He knows these characters so well. And this game's got to have a banging soundtrack, dude. Like, you got to have some sort of control over the music. Am I right? Like, there's got to be something in that game where you're collecting mixtapes or something, right? Like, that's got to be in this game's makeup already, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. You're going to have all those little like niche things that all the characters have and do that you'll probably do in the game. Like, you'll probably collect like maybe little cartridges for Groot or stuff like that, parts for like guns and stuff like that for Rocket. I think everyone's got their own little thing.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Let's hope so. So for a Guardians game, I want to see something that is reflective of the actual characters and their dynamic with each other. I just don't want to play a tone-deaf game. I actually want to see, You know, I want to see Peter Quill's humor. I want to see his, you know, his charm and his, you know, the way that he is with women. And, you know, I want to see all that shit. I want to see him be the Marvel Han Solo that we know him to be. And I also want to see Drax with his super kind of oblivious of the way the real world talks kind of thing. You know, I definitely want to see that. And Gamora, you know, her being this powerful, super enhanced
warrior.
Warrior. Yeah, yeah. I want to see that.
Do you want the game to resemble more of the comics or more like the movies? Because probably a lot of people that would be buying the game might be more familiar with the movie than the actual characters from the comics, no?
Yeah, I agree. No, I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think that we'll get the characters that we know from the movies, but I think that they'll probably be skinned in the same way that the Marvel's Avengers characters were in the last Square Enix game, which was, you know, very closer to the comic books in a sense, but not really the comic books. They kind of had their own feel. You know, I had a big problem with the way that Captain America looked in that game. I was like, why is he wearing body armor when he's a super soldier? That doesn't really make a ton of sense, you know? And I wasn't a huge fan of the Iron Man armor, the first one you get. It just wasn't reflective of the character and the aesthetic that I knew. What do you guys want out of a Guardians of the Galaxy game?
Good music and a story.
That's it?
Yeah, for me, it's all about the story. I don't really care about how the game plays out. If the story is boring, then the whole thing is boring to me.
Yeah, I need some sort of creative gameplay, though. Some games are really repetitive, and the story might be half decent, but I would like the gameplay to have something that is at least fun or violent. I don't know. Something that makes it entertaining when you're button mashing, I guess.
That's true. Yeah, repetitive quests, like,
that's right.
Go find this guy, or go find these, like, 12 of these things. Those get definitely really annoying, for sure.
Yeah, Marvel's Avengers was annoying in that way, for sure. It was super repetitive. The movements are super repetitive. You can't skill, like you can't level up as fast as you should be able to keep the game kind of fresh, where you can, you know, execute some new moves and have new tricks and, you know, new skill sets, et cetera, et cetera. So that made it definitely very repetitive. And then the way that you interact with the landscape is super repetitive as well. It's not like Drake's, where like you can go into a certain environment and then you have to like tackle it from a certain angle. And then like the environment continues to switch as far as like how you're interacting with it. That's what I would kind of like to see. I know if I was to pick three things I would want in this game, I definitely want to fly the Milano. I want a lot of like, you know, flight simulator kind of, you know, kind of levels where we can fly the Milano and do that. I think that would be really dope. I definitely want to see Yondu in this game. I think that would be awesome to have Yondu. That would be really cool. And maybe that's the guy you're going up against or something. I don't know. But obviously in the MCU, he's kind of dead. And I definitely just want to see, you know, Peter Quill be Peter Quill. You know, I would love if there was like a Leisure Suit Larry aspect to this game with Peter Quill and alien women, you know, just like alien girls just trying to pull some Leisure Suit Larry shit, you know, that'd be fucking hilarious. But probably in this day and age, I'm not going to get anything like that. It's probably not going to be anything like that because that would not be acceptable to the PC warriors out there.
Do you guys think we're going to get a lot of space battles?
I think we'll get space battles with the Milano for sure, but I think the majority of the fight mechanics will be in alien worlds and planets and, you know, different cities like Xandar, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I think that'll be the main setting for the game as far as the fight mechanics go. I don't think that it's going to be, yeah. Are you talking about like flying around in space with like Star-Lord's jetpack and shit, or like, what are you talking about?
Either one.
Okay. I think the Milano for sure. I don't know about the jetpack. I'm a huge fan of Star-Lord's mask. I don't know if anybody else is, but I fucking love that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy it from Marvel's Legends and just put it in my living room. So I hope you get to like play with the mask, and I hope you get I hope they give you the guns from the comic book, so you have element guns. Not these guns that Peter Quill has.
I have a feeling you'll probably get like upgraded guns. It'll be like stuff you can switch on your character for sure. So you'll see different things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And like, I want to be able to play as everybody, but I don't think you should be able to play as like, I think a cool storyline would be like the rest of the Guardians are captured and you have to like rescue them one by one or something like that. That could be a cool thing to go with, just so you can kind of, and then once you acquire that character, you can use that character kind of thing. That could be kind of neat, but also could, you know, it also could be kind of hokey. I'd like to get back to some classic gameplay.
And in hard mode, you start with Mantis only.
Yes. In hard mode, you start with Mantis only. Yes. Yes. You have to like literally get close enough to people to, you know, either put them to sleep or change their emotional behavior. Yes. That would be kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, it might be like the Lego games where you're given a certain character to complete a certain level, and then maybe after you complete the level, you can play it again with whomever character you want to.
Oh, yeah.
To do it with, whatever, right?
That's called cheap replayability.
I think that's a possibility.
That's right.
I think that's a possibility for sure. I think that's a possibility. But so if you guys were going to pick, okay, so let's say you had to choose five guardians for this game, and it can be comic books and MCU, who are you picking?
Probably Thor, Rocket, Star-Lord, Drax, and Mantis.
Okay, you're probably not getting Thor in that game.
I know.
Sure. I think that's very unlikely. Brad, who are you picking?
Could be unlockable DLC.
Three or five. Maybe. It could be, yeah, it could be downloadable content.
It might be lame, but I'd probably go with the ones from the movie. Again, I'm not huge Guardians fan, so I don't know a lot about the Guardians, but probably the movie. But I do know Venom is a Guardian, is he not, at some point?
Yeah, probably. I think everybody becomes a Guardian at some point. I don't think Wolverine was ever a Guardian, but okay. But yeah. Were you a fan of the Guardians films, the MCU ones?
Yeah, they were great. I did enjoy them a lot, yeah. Especially the first one.
Just the way you were saying that, I wasn't sure. I was like, is he not a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy? I was going to be like, wow. I don't think I've ever met anybody who had a problem with that film. Never met anybody who was just like, no, it's fantastic.
Such a fun film, yeah.
It's fantastic. Do you guys ever think that the soundtrack was just so good and so nostalgic and just tapped every emotional or plucked every emotional string in our bodies that maybe the actual movie itself wasn't that great? Do you guys ever think that?
No, I think the soundtrack just added it and made it better. It definitely aided in the success of the movie for sure as well.
Well, that was definitely the central talking point when that film dropped. Yeah. Was everybody was like, oh, the soundtrack, right?
For sure. Even in like the second movie, the soundtrack was like a huge thing too. I remember Gunn dropping the soundtrack for people to listen to on Spotify right before the movie dropped, so you could get kind of a taster.
Yeah. No, I remember that too. No, I do like the soundtracks. I got to admit, I listen to them a lot on Spotify. I really, really like them. They're great. They're great, like, just, you know, when you're in the shower music, just fucking chilling.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah. No, I really like those. Those are great. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about Jupiter's Legacy and what's going to be replacing it now that it's been canceled on Netflix. If you've been listening to our show for a while, you know we like to do contests and giveaways. Last year, Meanwhile gave away a Nintendo Switch to a lucky listener. And in the coming weeks, we are going to be announcing another big giveaway. Now this time, it's not a Nintendo Switch, and we don't want to spoil the surprise, but we know you guys are going to love it. Especially you gamer types, wink wink. So be sure to stay tuned to the show in the weeks to come, because you will not want to miss this. So, big news this week. Jupiter's Legacy was canceled from Netflix for 2022. We're only going to get one season of the show, apparently. And if you haven't seen it, plug your ears, spoilers. It ends on a cliffhanger. So that's all I'm going to say, because like, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. It's actually a fairly decent show, and it's got a lot of elements that I really like. The actual mythology behind the characters is quite interesting. Quite interesting. It reminded me a lot of Carnival. I don't know if we got any Carnival fans out there listening, but it reminded me a lot of Carnival, and it had a lot of things that I really like just this, you know, this like this kind of ancient feeling kind of mythos to it. You know, I was really into that. I really liked it. However, this isn't a spoiler, but the fact that they named the main character Samson and gave him long hair, I was like, guys, come on. Like, how heavy-handed is that shit? Seriously, you know?
Yeah.
You get where
100%. Definitely on purpose, though, yeah. For sure.
Well, Jeff, I know you watched it, right?
Yes, I did.
And were you a fan or what?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
I mean, I did too.
Especially coming off like the Invincible like binge.
Yes.
It kind of had that sort of feel to it as well. And to me, it was like it was a good filler.
Well, to a degree, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't.
I've seen a lot of people make the comparison to Invincible. I'm like, no, man, I don't really think that at all. And, you know, I know that everybody's on this evil Superman kick, but I didn't really feel that from this show either. I didn't really feel like there was evil Superman. I felt like there was, you know, there were Supermen that were wanting to do what needed to be done to do the job properly, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had this conversation, Jeff, me and you, like a million times. And yeah, I got a big episode planned where we're going to do kill or not to kill, because I really want to get into that. I think it's an interesting question that we really need to start exploring. You know, it's something that's popped up, obviously, in comic books over the years. But now that the superhero genre has gotten so big, this is something that's kind of being, you know, this is a question that kind of, I think, is at the top of everything, or just kind of like sitting on the surface of everything that could be, you know, interesting to kind of delve into. And, you know, I definitely want to get into that at some point for sure.
It's funny that you mentioned it too, because I actually just rewatched Winter Soldier, and holy shit, they kill a lot of people.
Yep.
A lot of people die on both sides. It was crazy. If you're paying attention to like all the Marvel movies now, you realize how many actual civilians are caught in the crossfire all the time. And no one bats an eye. But the minute Batman kills somebody, everyone's like, holy shit.
Yeah, no, people lose their mind when they're, you know, when the character that they idolize or deify, you know, breaks the tenets of that character's existence. You know? And I think it's kind of silly. But, you know, like I said, I got a big episode planned for that.
Yep,
so let's move into Jupiter's Legacy. So apparently the rumor is, Jeff, was this confirmed, the whole thing about this budget for next season just not being feasible?
Yeah, that was confirmed.
That was confirmed?
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently Jupiter's Legacy had a budget of $200 million for the next season, and it just wasn't going to happen. They just weren't going to do it. Netflix wasn't going to spend the money. I think that's kind of foolish on their part, because Jupiter's Legacy ranked among the top of the original streaming series for the past, well, since it dropped. It had the highest ratings. It outdid Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It outdid Stranger Things. It outdid a lot of different original series. And I just think that's, I think that's kind of short-sighted on their part, you know?
How did it do, like, versus The Boys? Because, I mean, that's obviously the one that everyone loved when it came out, and it was massively popular for Amazon there. Was it as popular as The Boys, or?
Yeah, I think it was as popular as The Boys, for sure. I think that the audience number was like 700 and... I think the audience number was like 796 million or some shit.
Jeez.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
So quite a large audience for that show. So therefore, you know, it was popular. I think it was acceptable in terms of the sociopolitical aspects of it. You know, a lot of characters were gender swapped and race swapped, I think, to create a little bit more representation throughout the cast. That's definitely something I think took place. And I think the performances were pretty solid. I really do. I thought Josh Duhamel did a great job. Leslie Bibb did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of newcomers. I'm not too familiar with the work of the guy who played the brother, Mindwave or Brainwave or whatever it is. I really thought the show was well written. I thought it was ambitious. I thought it was creative. Some of the things that they used to kind of tell their story. The time setting was really neat. I really liked that. Again, you know, it did a lot of things that I liked, and you know, the whole time jump thing or the flashback thing, whatever you want to call it, you know, that kind of comes from, you know, Arrow. You know, Arrow used a lot of that in the earlier episodes, and I was really a big fan of that. And then they kind of melded this thing with, you know, some very similar themes and ideas of Carnival, and I was really into that series. Do you guys know Carnival? Did you see Carnival?
Is that a series on Prime? I haven't seen it.
I have not, unfortunately. I know of it.
It's on Crave. It was an HBO series. Nick Stahl was the lead actor, and Clancy Brown was the antagonist. And it was great. It's really, really good. It's more of like a religious kind of superhero kind of thing, or a spiritual kind of superhero kind of thing. it's set the Dust Bowl of like 19, like the America of the West in the 1910 to 1920. It's a really, really well done series. It's really, really fantastic. I'm trying to remember the name of the creator because he also writes comic books, but it escapes me. Oh, Daniel Knopf. Daniel Knopf. That's it.
Daniel Knopf. Yeah.
And it's really, really good. If you haven't seen Carnival, I would recommend go check it out. It's pretty spectacular. I really, really enjoyed it. But yeah. So what does this mean for the superhero genre? Because I'm thinking that we're heading into the year of the villains, or the year of the villain, however you want to kind of classify that. There's a lot of shows, there's a lot of programs that are coming out. A lot of companies are focusing their development energy and their development resources on projects where villains are going to be the protagonists, where bad guys are going to be the protagonists.
If you think about it, it really makes sense. Like, we've done all the superhero stuff for the last, two decades?
True.
It's almost kind of like super saturated. So from a different perspective, the villain perspective, it just kind of makes sense to go that way now.
True. But like, is there a gray area where we start cheering on villains? Does society start to cheer on villains and start to admire people for how fucking shitty and ruthless and bloodthirsty they are? Right? Because we do live in a time now where people are a little bit more angry, a little bit more, you know, frustrated with the way that the real world is. And I'm sure a lot of them are looking for solutions to their problems. And clearly over the last, 5 to 10 years, a lot of those solutions for some people have been doing some pretty fucking heinous shit, you know, from school shootings to bombings to, you know, running people over in the street. And again, these people find people in their own communities that they can worship, and the people that they worship do really horrible shit. So are we going to get to a place where we start deifying villains? Is that going to happen?
Well, it's kind of weird because at the same time, all these shows and movies that are making like villains a protagonist, but they're also kind of like changing the way the character initially was. They're more of heroes in the end. Like, take Venom, for instance.
Yep.
Venom was the villain for the longest time, and then his movie comes out and everyone's like, Venom's a hero. Like, little children that are like probably under 10 now will grow up thinking Venom was a hero from the start. And to me, that's super weird and insane to think about.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, it kind of started in Venom, like in the Venom arena, but I also think everybody was a huge fan of Thanos, right? In Endgame, everybody was a huge fan of Thanos. And some people were like actually saying, you know what? I get why this guy is doing the things that he's doing, right? You know,
I understand Thanos. I don't agree with Thanos, but I understand where he's coming from.
Right, but I understand him.
For sure. Like,
yeah.
I think part of it is that previous villains were just evil just because. And now they're trying to explain why villains are the way they are, and now people can sympathize with villains. Everyone loved Killmonger in Black Panther there because you know, his father got killed and he went down this wrong path or whatever. So people are, and you know, like you say, some people do cheer for like the character, or whatever. And that is kind of tough. You know, they're the bad guys, but I guess they're trying to find more complex stories for these villains instead of just I'm evil and I just want to do evil things.
For sure, right? They're humanizing the villains.
They're humanizing them.
They're giving good reasons to like do what they do, and it's very interesting.
Right.
Yeah, they're giving them motivations that the audience can sympathize with or identify with, right? And that always makes it very challenging to hate the villain or to not like the villain. And Brad, you're right. Like, you know, at one point villains were just these mustache twirly archetypes that really had no motivation other than just being bad for the sake of being bad, right?
Yeah, but there was greed. Then, they were greedy.
Right, they were greedy, exactly. Or they wanted, you know, they were bloodthirsty or...
Money and power, that's all they cared about then. Sure. Now it's like there's a reasoning behind everything. And
there's a philosophical reason for it. Yeah. Yeah, no, and honestly, I think it kind of started with Walter White. If I'm going to be honest, I think that was a good place where it kind of all started because at the end of the day, Walter White is the villain in that fucking show.
100%, yeah.
Right? He comes up against people who are a lot worse than he is, But he's still a villain,
but,
guys.
But in the end, he triumphs, and he's actually the greater villain of the two.
Yes. Yes. But he also turns everybody else into a villain around him, too.
Yeah.
Right? He, like, Jesse Pinkman, somewhat redeemable. Not entirely redeemable, but somewhat redeemable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I think this thing kind of really hit a sprint when they did the Joker.
Right.
Right? Like, this idea of the marketable villain really jumped off with the Joker. Because, one, that was one of DC's biggest box office, period. They took home a lot of, you know, they took home a lot of box office money for that movie. But they also won awards. Like, they won the Best Film Award in Cannes. And, you know, everybody thought that this movie was so important. And they loved the character. And they loved the portrayal of the Joker. And a lot of people identified with the Joker. A lot of people identified with his frustration with society. And his frustration with phonies. Honestly, I felt like the Joker was Catcher in the Rye on, like, heroin. That's what I kind of felt like. You know, there's a lot of elements of Catcher in the Rye in that, where, you know, Holden Caulfield is basically, you know, he wants to go up against everybody in the world that, you know, and he sees them as phonies, right? He sees everybody as phonies. And I think that's the way that Arthur Fleck saw the people that he was up against. He saw everybody as kind of a phony. Everybody was trying to get over on him. Everybody was trying to take advantage of him. Everybody was trying to get something out of him, right? And he was discarded by society. So,
but he was phony too, to some extent, right? Like, remember, like, he made up because he was crazy.
Right. Yeah. Right. But in our film review, I remember doing our film review, and it got pretty heated between us because there was a lot of news media who were trying to attach the persona of the Joker to the incel movement. And Saba, Christina, and I kind of got into it because they wanted to, you know, they wanted to demonize not necessarily the incel movement, but some of the people who may have been in it. I was just trying to make the point that, you know, listen, there's a lot of people that just feel abandoned and they feel like they have nobody and they feel like all they have is the dark corners of the internet to kind of find sympathy or to find somebody who can empathize with them or find somebody to even just listen to them, you know? And I just don't want this trend of villains just to, you know, churn out more people like this. I just don't want more people just to think it's fucking cool to go to extremes to try and fix your problems or try and fix your issues in life, right? Like, you know, going to the extreme is not always the right, isn't going to be the right answer. You know, I don't want to lose the idea that we can still talk about our problems with each other and really have, you know, honest and honest conversations where we can feel vulnerable and we can be ourselves, you know? But yeah. So Brad, what's your take on this whole thing of the trend of the villain, the year of the villain? That's what I'm calling this year, by the way, the year of the villain. Just because of what Sony said too about, like, they want to bring in their, you know, they want to bring in their villain franchises, you know? So it does, you know, it just kind of looks like that's the way it's going. Brad, what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm fine with it. I think there's probably other movements in previous eras where the villain was popular and, you know, like with De Niro's Taxi Driver, I mean, that's what they compare Joker to a lot of whatever, right? So,
right.
I mean, I'm sure it's been done before. I mean, you guys ever watched Dexter?
No, I wasn't a fan of Dexter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's coming back, so you get another chance, Frank.
No, I'm okay.
Yeah, I only watched a couple seasons of it, but I mean, again, he's, like you said, he's a serial killer who they kind of glorify or whatever. But I don't know. I think it'll always be there. People will take what they take from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the villain franchises, Brad? You like, do you like that they're, you know, we're getting these character studies of these more complex and more convoluted and more complicated?
Yeah, I do, you know, because
individuals.
I do find it fascinating to see these different characters, like in Invincible, whatever. You know what I mean? Just to kind of see.
Right.
Like what's going on. And then even to the extent that these villains will go through to do what they do. And because they're making them sympathetic and stuff like that, it is kind of cool to see kind of where they came from or whatever, why they're who they are. It's always kind of, it's interesting to see what happens to somebody and why they turned out a certain way. You know, why is this person the bad
guy? Yeah.
Why is this person crazy?
Have you seen that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like the beginning of why this person went crazy and everything like that.
Yep.
Right. I know the movie you're talking about. Sure. He goes crazy and starts killing people.
Yeah.
When you finally get the backstory for the Joker in Killing Joke, I don't think it necessarily supports the psychopathy, but it is an interesting backstory. I think there's a lot more to it that I think that DC fans still haven't gotten yet. And I think that there will be more revealed over time for sure. One of the ones that will always puzzle me is Thawne, Eobard Thawne, Dr. Zoom, the Yellow Flash, Professor Zoom. That's one of the ones that really kind of messes with me a little bit. I don't know why he's so jealous of Barry. He doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Considering without Barry, you wouldn't exist.
Well, Yeah, I guess that's completely true. But why would he be upset about that? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Exactly. Like, he must hate himself. And I don't know, there's probably some ulterior thing
maybe.
There.
Maybe. So, more or less, Netflix is replacing Jupiter's Legacy with the Rogues Gallery of the Union of Justice from Millar World, which is basically what we're calling Mark Millar's IP, is Millar World. So, the bad guys are going to be the focus of the next iteration of the Millar World content from the pages of Jupiter's Legacy. So I guess we'll wait and see how that turns out. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a huge fan of Mark Millar. I love everything that Mark Millar does. There's really nothing that I can say that I didn't like from Mark Millar. I felt like Civil War could have been a little bit more complicated, but I'm a huge fan of Mark Millar. What do you guys think of Mark Millar?
Well, from what I've seen of his stuff, I've been pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
Can't think of anything that I didn't like, to be honest.
Brad?
Civil War is still my favorite.
The comic book? The comic run?
No,
it's really, really good. It's really, really good. Brad, what about you? Have you read much of Mark Millar's stuff?
No, unfortunately I haven't.
No?
So, no.
If I was going to recommend anything to you, it would be Superman Red Son.
Okay.
At the end, your brain will be in your hands, because it'll be fucking gelatinous and it'll be completely melted down.
I've seen the DC animated movie of Superman Red Son.
Yeah, as much as I love JM, because JM's been on this show and he's a great guy, I prefer the ending in the comic book than the one in the animated film. But I did like the animated film. The comic book changes quite a bit of the movie.
I didn't like the end very much in the movie, so yeah, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah. No, the comic book is dope, dude. It's so fucking good. So good. Definitely some of his best work. And if you're a fan of Kick-Ass, that was Mark Millar too. You know, he's the guy, he was the executive producer on the films and all that. So that's Mark Millar as well. So
Kingsman is also him.
Yeah, Kingsman is him. Yeah, he's got so much shit. It's ridiculous. He's a super, super talented storyteller, and he really knows how to draw from old mythology and from old stories. And yeah, he's really, really good. Really amazing at what he does. All right, well, listen, we're going to take a quick break again, and we're going to come back. We're going to be talking about the Snyderverse. Hello, listener. Do you have a suggestion for a future episode or want to comment on a past episode? Or maybe you would just like to ask us your most burning question about your favorite fandom. Well, whatever it is, we encourage you to reach out to us. You can contact us through email at contact@meanwhilepod.com. Or send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/meanwhilepod. And who knows, you might hear yourself on the show one day. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. So, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a big announcement that Warner Brothers and Discovery have merged. There's been a big merger between Warner Brothers and Discovery, and now they're called Warner Brothers Discovery. So no longer Warner Brothers Corporation, it's just Warner Brothers Discovery. And I wanted to talk to you guys about the Snyderverse and the Snyder Cut and Zack Snyder and the work that fans still want for Justice League 2, Justice League 3, potentially maybe even Ben Affleck's Batman movie, which was the some of the details of that movie were leaked and sound fucking amazing. They sound really, really cool. I think, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm full of shit, I'm totally okay with that. But I think that WB has such a long history of dropping the ball as far as creatively and just being short-sighted and being too invasive with their creative people, being too invasive into the creative process and being too controlling over the creative process. And I think that that has ultimately hurt a lot of the Warner Brothers IP. I think that's ultimately done a lot of damage, not only to the fan base, but also to the overall marketability of the DC film franchises. You know, there's a lot of people that kind of like, you know, when you're talking to them about comic book films and you get into DC, everybody's kind of automatic reaction is, oh, those things are shit, or those things suck, or those are, you know, those are the really crappy comic book movies, or the really dark comic book movies, or whatever, right? That's kind of almost the reaction that you're going to get most of the time from a mainstream fan who hasn't invested the time to really kind of sit down and watch those films. That's kind of the consensus in the mainstream about the DC film universe. WB Discovery, or Warner Brothers Discovery, is under new leadership by David Zaslav. And I think he's going to come in and hopefully do some cleaning and some repairing, because that's what you do when you do a merger. You look at what the company has done in the past, and then you try and right the ship. You try and fix the things that were broken, or you try and patch up the holes in the ship.
You see where the profitability is at. You'll probably see where they could have made money, where they dropped the ball on that for sure, and hopefully correct a lot of that crap.
Exactly. And I think that if David Zaslav is a smart guy, and Discovery being this online behemoth, you know, this company that is very competent in digital media and making digital content and social media and all these things, I'm pretty sure he's heard the calls of the fans for Restore the Snyder Cut. I don't think that he's tone deaf to that. I think that he's very well aware of what took place to make the Snyder Cut happen. It's a giant story. It's a huge part of our zeitgeist. It's a huge part of comic book culture now. It's the only time ever a studio has ever done something like that. I don't see Warner Brothers Discovery moving on the plan that Warner Brothers had before the merger. I don't think that's going to be the case. What do you guys think?
Yeah, unless there's like some sort of clause in the merger contract, I don't think so. I think they're definitely going to at least take a look at the possibilities.
Brad, what do you think, bud?
So you're thinking that they're going to resume the Snyderverse?
I think that the idea isn't off the table. That's what I think. I think that the idea is definitely in play. I think that Zaslav is definitely going to consider all of his options. I think he's going to look at the potential profitability, because when you create a new merger, right, especially for the sake of the stockholders, you want to do something right off the bat that's going to really, really make waves,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I think if he announces something along the lines of, you know, Justice League 2 or Justice League or continuing the Justice League trilogy or the Ben Affleck Batman movie or whatever, I think that that's something that could really, really raise some eyebrows for sure. I think that could make a huge splash. And the fans have not stopped calling for restoring the Snyderverse, dude. It has not stopped. It still goes on to this day. You know, we're like months beyond the debut of Zack Snyder's Justice League. And fans are not giving up, man. They still go into comment sections for other Warner Brothers movies that aren't even related to Zack Snyder. And they are blowing up, man. They're blowing up those comment sections with Restore the Snyderverse, Restore the Snyderverse, Restore the Snyderverse. Give us a Snyderverse, right? And I don't see somebody ignoring that. Like, I don't think that anybody who's a competent business person can ignore the profit potential from something like that. I think one of the big reasons that Zack Snyder isn't making these movies right now and isn't in production on Justice League 2 or Justice League or Ben Affleck's Batman movie or whatever is because of personal feelings. I don't think that DC's decision or Warner Brothers' decision or Walter Hamada's decision or whatever was based on actual, like, financial reasoning. I don't think it was based on those things. I think that the fact that they've ignored the call of the fans to continue this is financially irresponsible. And I think that that's one of the things that Warner Brothers Discovery is going to come in and say, you know what, guys, you really fucked up here. You really fucked up here. There are people literally telling you that they've got money down on the table. Make this film, make it happen, keep this universe going. All these guys are like, take my fucking money. You know, that old meme, you know, with Fry from Futurama, take my money, right? That's basically a lot of the DC fan base right now. They all want to see this. So I think that this is one thing that's going to reflect very badly on Warner Brothers and their acumen and their business acumen. I really do.
I was just checking out the DCU, the upcoming movies. So it shows Suicide Squad, Black Adam, The Flash, and then Aquaman 2. So it's still feasible for them to continue this Snyderverse. I guess maybe when The Batman comes out, depending on how well that does, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
But I mean, like Aquaman 2, he's obviously part of it, as well as The Flash. And then with The Flash, I mean, there was talks of them doing Flashpoint, where they could change stuff or leave stuff or do whatever the heck they want.
Yep.
The door is, it's definitely open for them to do or resume the Snyderverse.
Well, I think it's more open than people are realizing, because you just named off like all the movies that are coming out, and Jason Momoa is Aquaman, and Zack Snyder cast him as Aquaman, right? Ezra Miller is Flash. Zack Snyder cast him as Flash, and it goes down the line, right? And Ben Affleck isn't done with Batman. He's coming back apparently to be in Flash. He's going to be alongside Michael Keaton as the other Batman in the Flash movie. So there's something going on there that's like a Flashpoint type of storyline or whatever. It definitely can be time travel for sure. We know that for sure. That's 100%. But Ben Affleck is still in the cowl. Ben Affleck is still Batman. Now, the question of Superman is interesting too, because there's been a pivot. You know, the rumor is that the next Superman film is going to be based on an African-American Superman. That's going to be the protagonist in this next Superman. He's going to be an African-American. And apparently it's going to be set in like the roaring 20s or like 1920 to like 1930 or some shit like that. Like, that's going to be the setting for the film. Did you guys hear that?
I did not. Interesting time that they chose, though.
I did know that it was going to be that time period.
Yeah, well, you can't dial up the racial tension without getting some guys in some hoods riding on some horses. That's not going to, so anyways, but yeah, no, they want to do other stories. I get that part. And, you know, DC fandom last year, they were all gung ho about this multiverse idea, which means that the multiverse is something that's going to exist. We know that that's going to be the case with Flash, because there's another Batman already. There's two Batman. There's Michael Keaton. There's Batman 89 universe. And then there's Batman Ben Affleck universe, right?
And maybe the Batman shows up too. What's the guy's name?
Pattinson? Robert?
Yes, Robert Pattinson. Maybe he shows up as well.
That'd be weird.
Jeff, what do you think, man? What do you think the likelihood of Warner Brothers Discovery reinitializing this idea of the Snyderverse and reintroducing and seeing the mistakes that Warner Brothers has made in the past and trying to redeem so many lost opportunities?
So I can't say 100% that they're going to go through with anything, but I can almost be positive, like 100% positive, it's on the table. They're going to take a look at it. They'll see where, if it's worth it, and they'll see what, like, the popularity of it and everything, all the petitions out there, all what the fans want. They'll take it all into consideration, and then they'll make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
As a fan, I'm hoping they're going to go through with it, because I'd love to see more. Yeah. More content just means more for me to watch and for us to talk about, for sure.
Right.
At the same time, it's hard to say if they're going to actually do it, but they'll definitely 100% think about it, and it's definitely something that's going to be talked about a lot in the coming weeks, for sure.
Okay. If you were the CEO, if you were in David Zaslav's position, what would you do?
I'd definitely take a look at, like, I'd get the guys to look at if it was worth it.
Right.
For sure. If there's money in it, then why not? Isn't that the point of running a company?
Yep.
To make it a profitable thing?
Yep.
And
to make more money for your stockholders.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, if the opportunity is there to make the money, then 100% go mm-hmm. through with it, because that's just doing yourself and your company a disservice by tossing money out the window. Like, what's the point?
Right.
If you don't do something that is going to make you money and your stockholders more money, that's just stupid and negligent.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's for sure. Brad, what about you? If you're in David Zaslav's shoes, what are you doing?
You know what? I'll probably hand the keys Zack Snyder, tell him, do your thing, you know what I mean? Just, I'd bring it back, I'll let him go through with it, let him be the Kevin Feige of the Snyderverse or whatever, and see what his vision was all about. Just let him go. Take a bunch of 3-hour movies.
Yeah, I agree, man, I agree. So the only thing that it kind of stands in the way is that there's still a lot of the old same guard at WB Pictures, because WB Pictures is still a thing. But again, David Zaslav is the CEO of the entire company. If he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. There's not going to be any humming or hawing from any of the other department leads. They're just going to be like, or company leads, they're basically just going to be like, yes, sir. You know, yes, if you want to do this, let's do this. So hopefully this is something that's going to be on their radar. Hopefully this is something that they are going to take a second look at, because I think that it's time for DC to really start to solidify their identity. You know, we've been kind of up and down as far as what the tone of DC is and what it should be. But at the end of the day, the most consistent thing running through all of the DC properties is the creativity of Zack Snyder. I'm sorry, but that's the truth, guys. Like, nobody can refute that. He created all the major characters. He cast all the major characters. He started the stories. He was the executive producer on Aquaman, Wonder Woman. He's obviously the director of Justice League. So it just makes sense. It just makes sense to continue on and to let Zach do his thing, because he knows what he's doing. He knows how to hire the right people to make great films. And let's just let him do that. Let's just let him make great films. And I think that this may be the opportunity for things to kind of restart off again, which I think is what most DC fans want. They do want to see Zack Snyder kind of do his own thing and to get his opportunity to continue to tell his stories. But again, then this multiverse thing kicks in. J.J. Abrams is a big part of the creative process now of DC. So is James Gunn, you know. And I think if you pair all three of those guys together, you got a nice creative leadership, right? I think so. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Them all kind of working in concert with each other.
Definitely, man. They've all proven themselves pretty good at their craft.
Yeah.
So having them on together in like one whole team, like it's hard to say anything could go wrong. But I mean, of course, stuff could go wrong. But like, I feel very confident having them three.
Well, you know what the crazy thing is? The one that I have the least confidence in is JJ. And he's the more experienced. He's the more experienced, more decorated director. But
I just feel like JJ is very bad at closing out his projects.
I think he just takes on too much. I think he spreads himself too thin, and I think he takes shortcuts. I really do. You know,
he blows his load very early.
He blows his load very early. I like that.
Very early. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just doesn't know how to finish.
Yeah.
I think they need one vision. I think they need a Kevin Feige who just, because if James Gunn or Abrams, they want to go do their own thing, they need someone to kind of smack them on the hand and tell them, no, we're not doing that shit. Keep it this way so that everything kind of makes somewhat sense.
Has like one tone, like fluidity, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Right. Because the Suicide Squad got vastly changed from what it was originally supposed
to be. What David Ayer wanted to do.
What was released.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, because of the involvement of
the suits. The fucking suits for Warner Brothers. Yeah.
No. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I really like about the Marvel, that the Feige was going in there. You see a bunch of directors quit because they can't put their own shit on it, because Feige's telling them it's this way or no way. And they choose to quit and not finish the film. Right. So I like that.
Okay, so before we wrap up, out of all the DC movies that have come out, which one has the tone that you want to see be carried through the rest of the DC universe? Which one has the tone that you guys want?
That's a good question.
It's a good question.
I know my answer. Zack Snyder's Justice League, 100%. I just want to see Wonder Woman murder more kids in front of other kids. Or sorry, not kids. Sorry, thugs. Murder thugs in front of kids. My bad.
I think it'll have to be that. I mean, I don't know. I guess each film could be its own unique sort of tone, but obviously the Justice League, when they're together, should be Snyder's Justice League.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess had to follow the Justice League for now. Like, I think that's the best one as well.
Yep.
At the moment, of all the DC movies.
Definitely not 1984, though. Like, that was so hokey.
Nope. I'm done. Thank you. Let's leave that in the past. Let's try and do what everybody wants to do with Justice League and just leave that one on the old pile, folks. But Patty, we love you. We're gonna give you a second chance. We know you can do better. That was just a shit show.
We could tell you were in it for the money, and that was crap. It
was horrible. Yeah. No, I don't think she know. She loves his character, and she loves the world of Themyscira, and you know, she wants to tell, you know, female driven stories.
She's gonna need to prove it to me again then.
Well, she's gonna get
a shot. Damn, that movie was.
I know, dude. I know, but you know, I think during our Wonder Woman review, I think, you know, we did come to some conclusions about this lack of cohesive.
For sure.
Creative workflow between
for sure.
the team of all these people, right?
Yeah.
Because just too many things fell through the cracks, right? Like nobody was calling out the shit that we were calling out, and we don't work for any film studio. Like our professional skill sets aren't, you know, making movies, but we came up with a better movie during our review, more or less. Like, you know, just the corrections that we wanted to make would have made it a better movie.
Yeah.
So if I'm making a better movie than you on my podcast, there's a problem. So yeah. Anyways, well, listen, guys, thank you again for joining us. We love having you guys hang out with us and listen to us geek out. It's always a good time. Brad, Jeff, thanks again for joining. You guys are awesome.
Always.
Awesome. If you guys could, if you feel so inclined, we would love if you could drop us a review at Podchaser, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher. That would be awesome. And if you have any friends who'd like to geek out as hard as you do, please send them a link to our show. That would be really, really cool of you. You could do that. And if you guys are on the interwebs, you probably are, because this is really the only place where you get podcasts is on the interwebs, whether it's on your phone or whatever. But follow us on Instagram at meanwhile_pod, and you can follow us on Twitter at meanwhile_pod. We got some big stuff dropping, guys. We're going to have a contest announcement very soon. And if you're a regular listener, you know we gave away a Nintendo Switch last time. So it's going to be something comparable or even more amazing. So please do not miss that. Be sure to follow the show. Be sure to listen for when that announcement's going to be. And the Loki show is going to be dropping next weekend. So we hope you guys will check that out. It's going to be the first show for the Loki show. And we haven't come up with a title name for our Loki after show yet, but we will come up with one. And if you could, head over to I already said our Instagram, but click on the link in our bio, because there's a petition there. Because Meanwhile is on a mission to end spoilers. We want to end spoilers. It's not fair that we pay full price for the streaming services, and then every week we have to dodge goddamn spoilers in our internet feeds like soiled baby diapers. It's just gross, dude. I just don't want to do it anymore, okay? Let's not do this anymore, and let's get this thing taken care of. So everybody sign that. That would be amazing. So, to be continued, I'm Frank McGuire.
Brad
Pete. And I'm Jeff Mack.
Peace!